Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, season 16, episode 11, Nashville, Tennessee. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Next, you're going to say it's been a long day at work. I'm sorry, I'm just a little distracted. Oh, the bourbon's ready.
Distracted. Yeah.
Oh, the bourbon. How many glasses is this? How far are we in already?
You know, I think people that try to count things just really avoids enjoying life. Sometimes you just got to be in the moment. That's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to be in the moment with this Pendleton rye and enjoy the show.
Okay, Clint. You know, here's the funny thing, right? So I'm doing my some laps around the neighborhood today, and I realize why what Dina would call a doggist, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because, especially judging by some of the comments, people have really come at me in the comments about the dogs in the house, the dog in the bed. I mean, nobody more than you, but, you know, and all this other stuff and not tonguing down the dog and all the stuff like, you know, you and some of these other dog people do. But, and even to the point that, no, that most of the people I walk dogs for are black people and this and all these black people with dogs. Well, I live in a mostly black neighborhood. And you know what I noticed? Black people don't pick up after their dogs, okay? And that's something. Let me just say this. If you're going to own a dog, and the community rules to walk your dog on a leash, keep that pit bull on a leash, keep that Rottweiler on a leash, and pick up the poop. I mean, don't use the excuse that it's fertilizing the grass, the community grass, because there are kids around. Okay, stop it. Come on.
So it sounds like at the next HOA meeting, you're going to be the Karen.
I'll be the Karen.
Come up there with your notes of things that you want to get off your chest.
Look, I'll have my spectacles. All right.
Down by the nose.
Yes, down by the nose. And okay, so I have an issue I'd like to discuss. That will be me. And I'll be right.
To you, you'll be right.
I see. Hey, high vibe saying hey from the dog lovers. As long as you pick up the poop, I'm fine. I'm fine. Pick up the poop, I'm fine.
If you live in Yanni's neighborhood, I'm asking everybody go bring your dogs, bring other people's dogs and shit in his yard.
Yeah, do that if you want. You have no idea what chemicals I have in the front yard.
Good luck. With shit.
Good luck.
Wow.
Look, at least Melissa. Melissa, I'm with you here. See, she cleans her dog poop.
Even if you don't have a dog, go shit in Yanni's yard.
Yeah. Hey, if a human does it, it's on. I got a couple cousins I'll take care of that. They call Smith and, okay, never mind. Anita, welcome. You know, she says, finally able to stay awake to catch alive. We're glad you're awake.
Hey, Anita.
And look, just to be fair, let's see. Miss Frazier here says, I've reported folks in my HOA. Just call me Karen/Sharon because I found dog shit in my yard. See, so I'm not the only one here. See, thank you, Miss Frazier. Thank you. I know I wasn't the only one. I knew.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the show, man. You know, as this episode kicked off, there was a double date, right? It was the Redneck mm-hmm. Comedy Bus Tour double date with the two Fat Shamers, right? and is the main thing you took away from this that cooter is something you eat?
Well, I just learned that cooter was a type of turtle. I didn't know that. I was like, when she said it, I'm like, I see what you did there. Y'all are having fun. You're having whiskey. You're on a tour.
Yeah.
And then she said, no, it's a turtle. You know, what we call the other thing is beaver. I was like, I learned something on no. Married at First Sight.
It's a turtle if it just lays there.
I thought that was a starfish.
Animal kingdom is over. Oh my God. Besides that, there was really a lack of comedy on that comedy bus tour. I mean, I don't think I laughed once. I like, you can see what they did there with, and they do it for the tourists in Nashville and mostly those Midwest folks and up north folks and maybe the West Coast folks. But anybody who's lived in the South, none of that stuff is like, yeah, tourists. We all know what that is. Mama and them.
Mama and them. I'm like, yeah, we've been saying that a long time.
Yeah, we all. And they're all like, yeah, we live here. The only person who didn't know was Nicole.
Well, because she's from the East Coast. She's like, mama them. mama and them. Because you saw she corrected it. Oh, yes. Mama and them is what you mean to say.
I was like, okay. But it's interesting when they all get down to the Moonshine Bar, right? Mm-hmm. Clint and Gina, and this is something that I noticed consistently throughout the episode. Whenever Clint's talking about the relationship, Gina's facial expressions are always kind of telling and hilarious. Because it's almost like she's looking like she's disagreeing with him, but she's nodding. But then...
We said that before, is that look like you're in a professional setting and somebody farted, but you don't want to make it seem like you know. So you're just like, Yeah, her body language doesn't seem like they're progressing the way that Clint's trying to describe. And I think he's trying to be very positive about it. But to me, her eyes and body language to me doesn't say that it's going any further.
Now, they asked Wayne, the bartender. Of course, you know, Nicole offers the first I love you of the season, and it's to Wayne, the bartender. He's like, hey, no, I'm married. And then they asked him for some advice. Since he's been married 6 years, they've been married, you know, not even 6 weeks. And his thing was honesty. Probably the wrong couples to say that to, right?
Because apparently being too honest is a bad thing, which I totally get. Because if you think about people in a dating scenario, you get a chance to build that trust and comfort to be able to be honest. Doing it when you just met somebody and you've only known them for 5 days and they say certain things about your look that bothers you or triggers you, I can see it being an issue. But we've all been there. So we've all had a good bartender that makes drinks so damn good where we're like, I love you.
Hey, like Little Hurdler said, by the way, that moonshine will F you up. It's commercial swill.
Moonshine's the truth. I mean, I'm a pretty good drinker, but I've had some moonshine. I'm like, woo, yeah. This is different.
That one sip took probably about 30 minutes to get through.
Yeah.
It's definitely different. The name change topic, that came up. Mm-hmm. And do you understand what the women were saying in this case where they're like, yeah, right now? No. But I thought they were talking, and this is different in the conversation, right? Because initially I thought they were just talking in general about the name change, not, oh, change it this week, which is kind of what Nicole was like, no, I'm not changing it now because it's too much to do. We understand there's a lot to do.
Well, this comes up, seems like almost every season, but then also we talked about this on the regular podcast that to Nicole's point, very true, what women have to go through to change their last name, it's a lot of effort, right? I mean, regardless of, it's not just your driver's license and social security card. I mean, it just takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And her point is, I want to make sure that everything is worth it for me to go through that effort, which I get. But I do agree with Clint, the way she was saying it, it was almost like a cop-out. And so I get you don't want to make that call before decision day. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. But a year? After decision day, you're still going to hold on to your last name. It didn't work out for Miguel and Lindsay from last season. So maybe I get it, but I think that's a bit much, but I understand, but this comes up a whole lot. And I just don't think guys understand what it takes for women to change their last name. It's not just going to the court, sign this little deal and get a new license.
You know, Celery08 says name change, big hassle, wait till after decision day. But then Gina was talking 1 year, just like you said. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea to say a year. I mean, remember, they'll have only known each other 2 months after decision day.
True.
How many relationships have you been in that were great in 2 months? And 2 months and 2 days later, you're like, deuces.
That could happen. But I also agree with, who was it that just said this? The comments came in pretty quick, so I don't want to hold up people. But I do think Nicole would be quick to change her last name, no problem.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There it is. From Tony. Yeah, Tony said, Nicole Thirsty Tail will change her name tomorrow.
Yeah. If it's not already changed, you know, I'm sure.
Yo, this is funny from Mike. Nicole was a constant reminder tonight to all black folks not let white folks know too much about your personal life. We'll get to that, because Nicole's name is really Karen or old white lady, because she was definitely that, especially when we get to the couple's group anniversary dinner. And we'll get to that. We'll also get to Shaquille and Kirsten. We'll get to Eris and Jasmine. We'll get to Clint and Gina. But since we're on Nicole, let's just transition to Chris and Nicole. And Nicole's dad coming over and saying, you know what? Chris needs some BDE.
So before we get to that, this is the one time where I'm going to be like, I see Yanni's point. So when the dad gets there and the camera pans onto the sofa and I see all the dog hair, because it's not leather, but see all the dog hair, I'm like, that's a lot of dog hair. I hope they have leather furniture, you know, or something better when at their own place. But that is a lot of dog hair to be all over the place. So I saw that and I'm like, I bet Yanni's just scratching right now. Just looking at that, just like itching.
No, it was horrible. And I'm glad you pointed that out. See, I was going to leave it alone. I was going to leave it alone.
Yeah. But Nicole's dad, I thought he gave some really great advice to Chris. You know, he tells him that it's great that you want to change, but don't change because you think that's what she wants. And if you see a trend or a theme between all the advice he's getting from Nicole's friends and family, it's like, hey, don't let her walk all over you. Right. Stand up for yourself. And then, of course, the dad calls it out. I think Chris just needs some BDE. I was just like, I mean, I can't argue with that logic. I'm like, yeah, that's his deal.
Now, my question is, who taught you BDE? Which one of the producers gave him that line? Seriously.
Hey, you'll be some. He might know some things. It's Nashville.
But is he from New York?
I don't know, but I think every guy understands what that alpha energy is. And he was saying that you can be an alpha quietly. You don't have to be a dominant alpha, but he needs to step up. And I think Nicole's dad is seeing that in Chris. That, and we've all been talking about it. We've been saying that from the beginning. Now, to the expert's defense, I think that's why they paired these two up. Is because Nicole has enough alpha energy for both of them. And maybe he's going to be that balance for her. So we shall see. I mean, none of this gave me red flags about their relationship.
Right. When it came to revealing their 1 month date, I thought it was pretty creative what Chris did.
I did too. I thought it was cute with the drone. Mm-hmm. Let's take our relationship to the next level. And a helicopter date, which is something on my list I've never done, but I think that would be a dope date. So to see it, to see all that, I thought it was great. I thought it was great for Nicole. And she's probably not used to having someone who shows her in actions that how much he likes her.
Right. Which I think she said that later on, and it's obvious. I mean, we've noticed that in the stories that she's told before. She told stories that we were just like, yo, really? You know, this, the things that happened in her previous relationship. So you're right. It's good for her to see that people can actually act normal in a real relationship.
Every week, somebody does this where I can't stop laughing. Dallas Boss says, Chris smells like dog and moist saltine crackers. Oh, goodness. That is hilarious. So I thought the helicopter date was great. Here's where I think Nicole ruined it, is when they come back and they're watching their ceremony.
Yes.
And she just would not stop talking about how she thought her makeup was bad. Like, she is so hard on her physical appearance that it could be a mood killer. And I can see for Chris, that would just be so annoying to have to deal with on day-to-day basis. You know, if you don't feel good about yourself, and I get it, she's grew up with some body issues. She knows it's going to continue. When you look at her mom, this is who she
is. Stop it.
Well, no, she said this. She said this last week that, you know, hey, you see my mom, I have this, and if I have kids, I'm going to get even bigger. She said those words. But I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. If the man loves you, who cares?
Okay, but let's be honest. She was not lying. Her makeup was not great on her wedding day. And it's okay.
It's fine. Sorry, go ahead.
Do we need to go play this back?
Go ahead. Her makeup was fine. It was done for TV. Her makeup was fine.
Done for TV, but she didn't like it. And any woman can tell you, if they don't like the makeup, they're not happy. And it's just, it takes so long. There's no way to just, all right, take it all off. Let's do it again. And which she probably should have done. As much as an alpha as she is, she probably should have had them just redo it if she didn't like it in the moment. Not feel like you have to do it. But the minute I saw it on the screen, I was like, oh yeah, she's not going to like this. Especially once we learned about how much she, you know, how the lack of confidence she had in herself, right? Therefore, we knew that this was going to be an issue. So the minute I saw it on the screen, I'm like, yeah, she's not going to like this. And sure enough, she said it, but she wasn't saying anything wrong. Now, was she wrong for harping on it so much? Because he was like, no, you look fine. But have you ever tried to tell a woman, you look fine, and she doesn't feel that way? This is not surprising. I don't think it's abnormal.
It's not abnormal, but I can see where Chris is coming from, because for me, that would just be annoying. If you have these issues with your looks and your self-esteem, I get it. Get some therapy, get some counseling. But you're going to annoy me if you keep bringing it up all the time. Because now I can't tell you I think you look beautiful, because I know you're going to be, no, I don't. No, babe, I think you look wonderful. No, that would just get annoying. Like, embrace yourself. And that's not an easy task. Right. I don't want to minimize self-love. It's not easy. But you got to work hard to get to that point. And stop worrying about all this other extra, because in the moment, Chris was really celebrating, this is the first time I saw the woman that I'm going to marry, yes, that I'm in love with. And he's just wanting to relive that moment. And all she kept talking about was her makeup and how she didn't like it. I mean, ugh.
Yeah.
And he was being romantic.
He was. And you could see the joy on his face, and he was happy. So, yes, again, it's okay to say it. Just don't harp on it at the end of the day. You know,
true.
That's all there is to it. Clint and Gina. Have we made a 180 here with this couple? I mean, you know, you saw them on the redneck comedy, no comedy tour bus. You've seen them on that double date, and then you see that Clint decided to keep going, and him and Wayne became best friends because Clint with a hangover, hilarious the next morning.
Yeah, well, let's slow down. Are we seeing them turn it around? Because we all know that we've already been given a sneak peek at something that we know this is going nowhere. But I applaud Clint, because I have lived quite a bit in the restaurant world. I lived in where you work 12, 13 hour days, you drink for 5 or 6 hours, take a quick nap, and you're back at work again. I have worked hungover. I've done a lot of things hungover. I'm like, ooh, hiking hungover. Oh man, he's a trooper. Mm-hmm. Good for him. But it was funny. And the other thing I like about Clint is his relationship with Hank, because right. I think if you wouldn't understand this because you're a doggist, so I'm going to talk to everybody else. But when you date someone that has a dog that they really love, the fact that you can connect and bond with that dog and that he feels it, that's great for the relationship. So I'm glad that Clint has embraced Hank. And is in love with Hank and just thinks the world of Hank. I think that's really nice for their relationship.
Well, it's not just one way. It's actually a two-way relationship that way with Hank and Clint, right? Because, you know, the hike that they took, it led to Gina saying that she can see a long term with Clint. We know Hank is all the way in, because Hank was ready to jump in the water, swim across and swim behind Clint when Clint swam across the lake. He's like, wait for me. Take me with you. Get me away from this crazy woman.
Very true, but yet Hank was all in. He enjoyed it. Hank would love to be on the boat. I could see Hank just enjoying that, basking in the glory of being on the sailboat. Gina's still not ready, but you know, he's gonna be great. Yeah. But when they get back to the house, and I like the idea that they were trying to have a Jamaican theme to kind of do recreate. A do-over,
yes,
or recreate the honeymoon. But when she made the comment about if the apocalypse happened, I would let Hank eat me before I would eat Hank. I was just like, dog lovers are just hardcore.
Yeah, Peter's going to get them for talking about eating Hank too.
No, Peter's going to be like, thank you, Gina. Yes, you should let the dog eat you in the zombie apocalypse and let the dog live.
See, this is exactly why you just, you know. But hey, kudos to Gina, though, for for decorating the apartment for Clint, you know, putting it all together, getting the Jamaican flags, the Jamaican theme to get them back on the honeymoon. Even though Ebo Style says every time they pan over to Gina, her face says she forgot they were filming. She's checked out. And that's what I kept seeing.
It's like those late 80s sitcoms, you know, where the music comes on. They're all turning around in the beginning like, oh, the camera's on. Yeah, she definitely does that. But I think Clint brought up something that I think we've all been noticing, right? Is that he still, after a month, doesn't know much about Gina outside of her career mm-hmm. and her salon. That's yeah. like all she's about. And Clint is just thirsting to have a connection with you outside of your work drive. And it's good that they both have that. But he has all this other stuff about him outside of his career. Mm-hmm. But what does she have? And I think we've not seen that yet.
True. You know, Mike said Clint has done a masterful job of saving his public image after the honeymoon. Which is, you know what? You're kind of right. Because even Sharonda has said that Clint has grown on her. But this their confessionals are very rehearsed.
I don't wouldn't say they're rehearsed. I just think Clint is a very good communicator. He's very articulate. I think he's and he chooses his words wisely in every conversation, even when he's being an ass. Mm-hmm. It's still there's some strategy to what he is saying. So, I don't think he's being fake or being rehearsed.
Little hurdler, you're so wrong for this. Gina's lips react before she does. What is wrong with y'all tonight? And Brandy says, here's a point that you were trying to make earlier. Hank and Clint will end up together in the end. Gina's yep. going to be the odd person out. That's how this is all going to go. Right?
Yeah, Hank, Clint, and Dominic. What?
Yeah, I'm waiting for that one. Let's see how that goes. As we move on to another couple that's not going to make it, Eris and Jasmine. Look, it's a shame we can count all the couples that are and aren't going to make it. It's pretty obvious right now, right? And with these two, man, start off with them, Eris meeting with his married friend, his fellow married friend, Harold. Was there any point to this meeting? Because it doesn't look like Eris was even listening.
Well, I mean, both of them are like mushmouth talkers. And so maybe that was it. They need to get someone that Eris can talk to. Like, I'm just like, you know, freaking articulate. But there was no point to it. But it was funny how Eris' friend was clowning him about not having sex yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, because apparently Eris is the sex demon. So they're all surprised and that he could actually go this long.
Yeah, he's Mr. 50 Shades without the money, but apparently he has all this.
Right.
But it blows my mind that after 30 days together with Jasmine, that there's nothing he can find that he's attracted to in Jasmine.
Right.
Like 30 days, there's not one thing. You can keep saying, well, she's a beautiful girl. I'm just not feeling it. You know, if she had a swag or she, which I hate when people say that. She had a swag. She had this. Maybe I'd feel it. There's just, I can't believe that in 30 days, there's not one thing you can find attractive about her. And so I think it's a wrap. I think we've all agreed and thought it's a wrap. But I mean, this is just, I feel sorry for Jasmine. I think she got a bad rap on Twitter. And online, and maybe in our case, some things we said. But I feel some things I said. I feel bad about, well, we're doing this together. This is our podcast. It's not mine. You're not a guest. You're not a guest host. This is you driving. So I feel bad for her because I think she got the short end of the stick out the deal.
Well, I mean, okay, let's be fair here. It's not that he hasn't found anything attractive about her. He's found one thing or two things that he's not attracted to, right?
But he won't articulate what those are on camera.
No, he won't. And probably for his own benefit to not do it. If you look in our live chat, you'll see people ripping him apart already. You know he's getting that everywhere. When they said he looks easy to draw, I mean, that's... I cannot unsee that now.
No, you know what I'm saying?
So
I can't.
It's the way that he is, he's the things he can't say. It doesn't. He can see 10 things he likes about her, or let's say there's a list of 10 and 8 things he likes and there are 2 things he doesn't, those 2, if they're big enough for him, are enough to make him say, nah. But whatever it is, and the problem I have is that he has a lot of excuses, but no solutions. He just says the same thing over and over again, that it's just not there and we gotta find a way. But he's not trying anything to make it happen, and he's so disinterested, right? But before we even get to the date that they had, they did that their 1 month date. Before we get to their little dinner, they had a 1 month rage room date. Mm-hmm. This, which was the saddest rage room I've ever seen on TV in my life. Like, they just went to the Dollar General rage room and said, here.
You get 5 plates, 3 glasses, and a bowl. Y'all make it work. You got 10 minutes. We'll be back.
That was the... Now, I don't get the appeal of a rage room, because I don't feel the need to go break things, you know what I mean? Because I'm a rational human being. But, you know, everybody else that loves these things, great. Go. Get that frustration out. But that was the worst I've ever seen on TV. And so many reality TV shows, whether they're dating shows or not, just reality TV has gone to these rage rooms. That was the worst. Well, I expected that on Ready to Love.
I haven't seen a lot of... Don't get me going. I haven't seen a lot of rage rooms or shows that involve rage rooms. But as I'm watching that, I'm wondering, who's letting out more frustration in the rage room?
Right.
Is it Eris or is it Jasmine? Is it Jasmine beating stuff down? Like, I'm doing everything. I feel like I look my best. I'm doing all that. And he don't want to touch me. And then is it Eris beating stuff? Like, why doesn't she look like the girl I met 2 weeks before the show? Why can't she do the things like the girl 2 weeks before the show? I have no idea. You know, but I was like, who's really letting the rage out here?
Well, you know, if Eris is reading these comments, it'd definitely be him. because let's see. Eris is definitely ugly and needs to stop pretending like he's not. here's another one, which is actually right on point. He wanted to smash first, but now that she's classy, he doesn't like her. Yeah, you know, good point. You know, I've seen somebody sitting here, he had LDE. It's probably if he was, that's why he needed to be in there. You notice he actually smashed something before, while the camera people were still in there and the instructor, the worker was there still telling them how to do things in there. Like, no, that's not when you do that. They're not wearing protective gear. What are you doing?
Exactly. I saw that too. But I think what he threw wasn't something that was shattered. It was just something that was going to hit the wall, but not actually. But even still, but risky. Still.
Exactly.
Even still risky. So yeah. I'm with you on that. So after they do the wage room and they have their little date in the park, or they're having their dinner date in the park. I love how on this show they bring back the vows, because at the wedding ceremonies, the vows are always dope. And it's nice to be able to say that about someone you've never met.
Right.
And then when she was like, do you feel you've done these things? Well, no, I haven't. But he's like, Shaq. No, you don't have it. But I won't even look at her. You know, but I thought it was great to bring back, hey, you said these things and you're going to put in effort to do these things. Are you doing that? No, I'm not.
Even at the anniversary dinner, look at it. He was so uninterested. He didn't even want to look at her, talk to her. You could tell it's just so uninterested. So all those complaints he had, all those excuses he had as to why things haven't progressed, no solutions and no attempt to make it work. Right. Then what's his solution? He comes with one. I say all that, and he comes with one solution. Let's just not have sex before decision day.
So I was waiting to hear, like, what's going to be the drama in this? Because I feel like there's some buildup coming, and Eris has got to put foot in mouth. Mm-hmm. So he already made the comment after the first couple weeks, I was already checked out. Now what I'm trying to do is figure out how to get, like, halfway, like, in the middle. I was like, so you want to be in the middle of all in and checked out? What does that look like, Eris? Like, that really doesn't sound all that bright. But then to say that, hey, I think what would help me is if we don't have sex until after decision day, which to me says that you're never going to sleep with her and you're not going to say yes. And there's someone else you've been sleeping with that you want them to see this on the show.
Yes.
And make it easier for you in your world.
Yeah.
His, you know, after you say no on decision day, his cousin, stop it. It's family.
Now, you know, we don't watch the after party. I was watching probably maybe half of it before we jumped on, right? And before we were talking and went live. But Sharondana says Eris had plenty positive things to say about Kirsten on the after party. That's who he's into. I remember we said that. If he was matched with Kirsten, she'd have to beat him off in the rage room with one of those sticks. get away from me. She'd have to beat him off because he'd be, you know, she has what he likes.
But the arrogance and cockiness, I think, is what everyone else hates. Because he also said he feels having sex would increase her emotional dependency on him. Mm-hmm. Like, his sex game is that good.
Right.
That she's going to be hooked on him. And so to save her, I'm not gonna give her all this good.
Okay. Terrible. Okay. You know what, though? So part of that, too, is, and oh, man, saw this up here earlier. And I didn't get a chance to highlight it, so I won't be able to find it without stopping down. The fact is, someone said that Jasmine needs to stop saying that she's attracted to him. She makes it a point every time they get together to say that, right? And she always says that, no matter who she's talking to, the group, another couple, just the girls, the experts, she comes off so weak in those moments. And every time, even that conversation about the no sex until after decision day, you know, I need her to be a little bit more, we need her to have some Nicole energy here, right? And just call him out for what it is. Look, if you're not trying to make this work, let's just end this right here. This is not, I'm not here for you to get your check for the next 4 weeks. Let's just call it. Let's do a Dominique and just end this right now. Because if he's not all the way in, then why waste her time?
It's because dog food's expensive.
Okay, then.
And so she needs the money too. There's a lot of dogs, a lot of dog hair in that house. She needs the help. So she's like, I'll endure this if it helps all my babies. I get it. But I agree. I think that Jasmine needs to, it's probably not going to happen, but she needs to just stop taking this abuse from Eris. Mm-hmm. And making herself look bad in front of all these people. Like, I'm attracted to him. I want to do more, but he's not feeling it for me. And she's so rejected. And you can see it in her face that that's emotional for anybody, right? We would all feel weird if somebody all of a sudden thought we were, Yanni, you're cool, but I'm not attracted to you. Once you hear that, you're out.
Yep. You know what? Mike has a great point here. We all hated Chris for doing Paige in Atlanta, right? Because Chris said he wasn't attracted to Paige, but he slept with her. You know, he kept sleeping with her. And now we hate Eris for not sleeping with Jasmine. That's Mike. Great, great point.
No, Mike, appreciate you watching. Bad point. Because that's not why we don't like Eris. We don't like Eris for all the other things. And so we don't want him to sleep with Jasmine. But there's a whole lot of things that majority of people don't like Eris for. But it has nothing to do with that. And I think the Chris situation, and because I met that young man, I great guy. Mm-hmm. Chris' situation is different than Eris. Eris is just trash. He's for the streets.
Facts. Okay. I mean, good point. Good point. Good point. You know, just want to point out the man made a point, though. It was valid.
Thank you. I have my moments.
Yeah. Once every couple weeks. Shaquille and Kirsten, our favorite couple.
Mm.
What'd you think of when Kirsten lying to her friend Chanel about her relationship, you know, about all the effort she's put in that we have not seen?
Lies. And I think we've talked about this on the show before about the difference between male friendships and female friendships. Mm-hmm. I feel like females sometimes can't be honest with each other. Her friend knows Kirsten's a problem. She knows she has some issues, but she's going to let Kirsten make it seem like it's all Shaq. It's not, right? It's some of that is her. And if she would have said, hey, here's the issues I have with Shaq, but also here's the things I got to work on about myself, I think that would have been a more productive conversation. But her making it seem like it's all him, that's not good. But when she's saying that he's not connecting with her he's not spending enough time with me, he can't connect with you because you're so guarded. And if he does spend time with you, he doesn't get anything out of that.
Yeah, she's complaining that some days he doesn't want to talk to her. Who the hell wants to talk to a wall? I mean, It's mind-boggling. We saw this happen. She supposedly set up this spa day that was supposed to be so nice, and then he reveals some stuff, and then she won't reveal anything. And he keeps calling her out on that. And so, you know, I don't understand that. And then she actually had the nerve to say that, well, you know, Philip, we've learned a lot about each other. What?
Nothing.
He hasn't learned anything about you.
Not at all. And the fact that she can't recognize that, I just don't understand how you could be so unself-aware at that age. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so if you have friends, you've been in a 4-year relationship. How long did it take for you to let your guard down in that relationship? Was it year two? Mm-hmm. Was it year three? Like, what does it take for that? And I agree with Shaq's frustration that this is all on her terms. Mm-hmm. You know, he set up a nice 30-month anniversary date and the roller skating date. And I was hoping that seeing Kirsten get into the roller skating and her skills, which are way better than mine, but seeing her skills, I was like, maybe this is going to help them, you know, her open up. They can have a good conversation. And maybe this could turn something around about this relationship, even though the helmet could not fit on her head. I thought that was hilarious. But I mean, why does she not understand that he's not around you? Because what does he get out of that? Talking to you is boring and it's all about him. Mm-hmm. You don't share anything, but you're making it sound like the intimacy that you know Shaq is wanting, he has to earn it by trying to sit with you to hear what?
Yeah, you know, Ms. Frazier says that Shaq is mentally checked out now that she kind of wants to work it out. And does she really, though? I think she's just trying to put on a front for the cameras. But, you know, we did see her give him a kiss, though. She, you know, it was on the cheek, but she gave him a kiss.
In the preview for next week?
No. They were actually kissed on the lips. We'll get to that at the end of today's recap.
Oh, you're right. She did.
When they were in the bed.
Right.
She gave him a kiss on the cheek. You know, like, well, that's progress. I'm sorry. Can we give her
I can't give somebody a progress of kissing on the cheek after 30 days. I mean, week one, maybe. But by week two.
Mm. Okay. So
that's not going to happen.
1 month anniversary skate party. As much as she says she knows about, they know about each other. We know so much about each other. Yet she didn't know that he could skate.
He didn't know. He just learned that she can actually, and not only can she skate, apparently she can jam skate. For those of old school folks who went to the skating ring when you're younger, it's a jam skate in the opposite direction. She can get down.
Well, no, he knew she could skate. Because she even said she had already told him about how much she loved to skate. She didn't know he could skate because she asked him, oh, can you skate? Like, which tells you how much those conversations are not really happening.
Well, I didn't know how much safety equipment they put on people now at the skating ring. Yeah, was that crazy. Just for the show, or does that comment if that's just a one-off that we saw in the show? But I'm like, man, I don't remember having to put on knee pads and helmets just to go skating around the skating ring. Mm-hmm. I don't recall that happening at all. But so they have the skating session. They sit down and they're having a cold plate of dinner that's in the middle of the skating rink.
The worst place to have dinner. I mean, who would have that dinner on a shaky table in the middle of a nasty skating rink?
Well, it wasn't like on the floor of the skating rink. It was on a table, but it was... It looked cold. So I'm like, it's been sitting there. Y'all been skating around.
In the middle of
I think it's
table.
Been sitting there. Yeah. But for her to make... this is what pissed me off about that date. For her to make the comment that we have a lifetime to get to know each other. And Shaq's reminding her, like, no, we have a decision date. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. There's not a lifetime. Like, she is so disconnected from her ability to connect and be vulnerable with people that she just thinks Shaq's just going to run with this forever?
Mm-hmm. I look like chicken pot pie.
It's from the skating ring. They didn't, like, bring food into the skating ring. They're like, what can y'all whip up in the back that's easy? And could sit for like 5 or 10 minutes before they actually get to it.
Okay, so you asked about the equipment, right? You know, so Chocolate Simmons says the helmets were so funny to me too. You know, Tony says I didn't wear gear to be fast at the rink. Lucy V said, married at first sight just doesn't avoid the liability. Yeah, that's what it is. And Kathy's like, hey, we just skated, no equipment. Exactly. I don't understand all. And even Evo Style said the safety gear was a bit much. When I see they put the kids out there in 42 pounds worth of equipment just to ride a bicycle nowadays, I'm like, yo, man, we used to, you know, ride no hands, standing up on the handlebars and all kind of stuff, but nothing.
Well, I think Shaq needs the helmet because he didn't have any hair in his head. I think Kirsten could fall on her head and that weave would have took care of it. It'd have been a nice cushion. She'd have been fine.
She's the daredevil anyway. We saw that when they went four-wheeling, so yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Don't kiss me.
In all their conversations, the thing I got to keep asking, are we missing something? Because she keeps saying that Shaq is never around, right? And then Shaq comes on as confused as we are when they're having that conversation. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm not there? What do you mean I'm always there? What are you talking about? And then it's this thing about the communication. So we know that's the big problem with them. The great thing that happened after this was the anniversary group dinner where we got to see Nicole at her finest. Nicole, the 15th expert on Married at First Sight, who was there when the other experts don't have the time to be there and was, you know, kind of moderating all the couples as they went through. We started with Clinton, Gina, and I wasn't the only one that saw their progress. The other couples did too.
Well, what's so funny is we all have that one friend. Mm-hmm. That we know needs therapy, but they are quick to give everybody advice. You know what you need to do, Yanni? I've been thinking about it. What you should do is this. That's what I felt about Nicole at that dinner. Like, how are you the one? You have the most trauma in your life. Next to you and Chris, y'all are the trauma couple, but yet y'all are the ones giving everybody words of wisdom.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious, but why is she in everybody's business? And when she told... when she told Gina, I didn't have high hopes for y'all after Jamaica.
Well, I mean, the way Gina was acting, let's be honest, the way Gina was acting after he said that he's accustomed to the more athletic type. Yeah, nobody had hope for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we beat that one into the ground. Over the course of a few weeks. But
that's my point. So I'm not mad at her for saying that.
I'm not mad at her saying it. I just think it's funny how she was the one that's like the relationship guru after all the girl who had someone burn a cigarette on her to show that she loved them. Mm-hmm. That's the one that's like, yeah, I didn't see any chemistry, but how are y'all doing now? Tell me more.
Well, I mean, she's interested.
I guess.
Eris and Jasmine, Nicole obviously thought that, you know, I read good vibes about this. I don't know what she's been watching because I'll be honest with you. I was looking away when she said it. I was like, which couple is she talking about?
Yeah.
And when the camera went to Eris and Jasmine, I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah. No, I mean, because I'm looking at their body language and I'm still seeing acquaintance vibes.
Right.
I'm not even seeing friend vibes. I'm just seeing straight up acquaintance.
Coworker vibes. I got to tolerate you.
Yeah, they're coworkers. And this is also what makes me say to Jasmine, just call it a wrap. Mm-hmm. You can't carry the physical chemistry. And you can see in her face how it hurts when she has to say, well, I'm attracted to him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's hurtful. But and Eris could care less. He has no issue with everything that he's been portraying about himself. Mm-hmm. Because for whatever reason, there's something holding him back from connecting with Jasmine, or someone holding him back from connecting with Jasmine.
Here's the interesting thing. Why did he choose to ask Nicole and Chris, is marriage sex different from single sex? When he just had this conversation that they weren't going to have sex until after decision day. Why does it matter?
It's not different. I thought like when you're married, like when you sign that deal, all of a sudden it's like taking off the condom. Like it just feels amazing. Everything is better.
That's exactly what
it's like. We're not married now. Is this sheepskin? Oh my goodness. I feel nothing.
But why would he even ask that question? He's already made a commitment to not do it. So what?
Exactly. Why does it even matter? But again, that's the heiress we all know and love to hate. But then they turn their attention to Shaq and Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq and Kirsten still not having any intimacy. Someone had commented on one of our other podcasts that they think that they've actually hooked up. They're just trying to keep it on the low for TV.
Which we've seen this happen before on this show, number of seasons.
True. And I thought, well, maybe that could be a possibility. But after today, I'm like, I don't think they've done anything at all.
No. Even judging by the preview of next week's episode, yeah, that looked like it was probably the first time. Shaq's face was hilarious, though, when Kirsten was talking, because he's like, it's the first time I'm hearing this. He looked like Gina.
Well, because when Nicole asked that question, Kirsten says, well, you know, no, we're not there yet. You know, but, you know, I don't know. What do you think? It's like, what do I think? You know, you've not touched me. You know that. So just actually say that on the in front of everybody else. But I think that's what frustrated Shaq, is that there's a Kirsten in front of the cameras, in front of everyone else, and then there's Kirsten that's around Shaq on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And he's picked up on it. He said it on the after party. He said it on the regular show, that it's so many mixed signals that I don't blame Shaq for feeling fed up, because you're forcing him to put on the politician hat.
Right.
And try to, oh, well, you know, we're still learning. Da, da. And they kept saying, it's been 30 days. Mm-hmm. You're telling me y'all even passed kissing?
Right.
It's been 30 days. I agree with them.
I like the way Nicole actually kind of called out, like, well, you know, you should be, well, you know, no, well, are y'all? And, you know, kind of just putting it to like, well, y'all weren't even there, so are you at least somewhat closer to that now? I like that Shaq was fed up, and even at the post-dinner, he called it, because she was like, oh, well, it feels so, because he's taking off her shoes, and she's like, oh, this feels good, because, you know, it was kind of, you know, a little awkward at the dinner, and trying to play it off and be nice, and he's like, no, hold up. What are you talking about? We're not going to act like that didn't happen. And I like the fact that he is actually manning up and, look, let's talk about it.
He was 100% right, and he's a better man than me, because I wouldn't have took his shoes off. We'd have been standing in the kitchen as I poured myself a drink and been like, hey, so look at here. About the dinner. Can we talk for a second? So I think that was really nice of him. But Kirsten is just, it's hard for me to even understand or describe what she's like, because she's telling Shaq, when he's saying, I'm trying to understand this, how come you couldn't have told me this personally? Why'd you wait till we get in front of everybody else? Mm-hmm. She's like, if you want to know these things about me, you just have to ask. Mm-hmm. I ask you all the time, how are you feeling? Just ask me. I'm like, are you shitting me right now?
Well, here's where I will give her the benefit of the doubt. She is right in the fact that they have a problem when it comes to communication, right? Because someone asks you a question, you want to know the same thing back, ask it. I do hear where he's coming from, though, because he said, look, I'll ask you a question, and then we end up talking about my stuff, and you never really answer it.
Okay, this is where I got to disagree with you, respectfully, sir. Bullshit. She's an adult. They're not teenagers trying to figure out life. You're an adult. If there's something that you want, communicate that to your partner. If there's something that you need, communicate that to your partner. Shaq has been overly communicating what he needs from her all this time. And what she does is she flips it and turns it on him. And then she does a typical move that I think children do. Is whether, fine, go ahead and tell me. Tell me what I need. And her whole body language just checked out.
Oh, yeah, I hate when that happens.
Like, you're the problem. And he's just trying to be open and communicate what he needs from you. And he's trying to tell you, I feel like everything is about you and your timeline and what you want.
It is.
You're not listening to what he's saying. And she's just trying to act like he's a problem. So, nope, I don't think that they both have a communication problem. I think Kirsten does.
No, they both do. And people are on both sides of this in the comments right now. Rhonda says Shaq has been nothing but patient. And in the meantime, Audrey says Shaq has no patience. I want to tell you, it's all over the place here, man. High five says Kirsten is manipulative. L. Ramey says smoke and mirrors on Kirsten's part. While Dallas Boss 88 says Shaq likes to throw her under the bus. You know, at the same time, L. Ramey back again. You know, Shaq is very vulnerable and she's closed off. And Dallas Boss again. It's back and forth in these things, man. He's getting revenge because she didn't like him immediately. You know what? That's right. And here's something else that was out there earlier, too. Shaq wants to be in control of everything, from the plants to Kirsten's vulnerability.
He's only being in control because she's not saying anything. Mm. If she were just to vocalize, okay, you know, I don't really give a shit about plants, Shaq. So this is your deal. You do that. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to set up a romantic universe at home. Mm-hmm. And we can have that difference about ourselves, but still come together at some point. She gives nothing. What is she passionate about? We saw her home. Nothing in there says passionate about shit. Mm-hmm. It's a mattress on the floor. No nightstand. Nothing in there. So what is she about? So Shaq is like, if you're not going to say anything, well, I'm not going to waste the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the best out of it. So to me, that's a her problem, not a Shaq problem.
Kendra agrees with you because she says Kirsten is wallpaper. High Vibe, who always seems to agree with you, says Kirsten doesn't know how to hold a conversation. No reciprocation, right?
No.
And Rhonda also agrees with you, says Kirsten has a problem communicating. So, yeah.
She totally does. And so I don't blame Shaq. And I think Shaq was right when they're sitting on the couch and he tells her, why would he stay in a marriage with someone who keeps their guard up with someone who wants to be in it with them? So it goes back to my whole point when we first started watching the show and I was like, why is everybody tripping on having sex on the honeymoon? Mm-hmm. Like, you've slept around with so many other people who'd never put a ring on it. Mm-hmm. You got this person who married you sight unseen. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be very reserved with that person. But you gave it up to all these other people who were scrubs. Why should Shaq stay engaged in this with someone that's going to keep their guard up? Did they let their guard down with every other 8-inch scrub that didn't work out to anything? Because that's what Kirsten wanted, was the 8 inches. Mm-hmm. Let it guard down with them. You got him. He's begging to try to get to know you. He's begging to get this information, and you won't share.
Begging, and oh my God.
He is begging for it. He is thirsting.
He's your frat brother. You're going to over-exaggerate as you're doing.
I'm not over-exaggerating. I think comment if y'all think I'm wrong, but he has been asking a lot.
Asking you shall receive. Tony says, Shaq doesn't like Kirsten. Don't let him fool you either. And Keedy says, Shaq admitted to being petty on the after party. Yes, he's definitely petty. You can see that.
He can be, but the reason why Shaq doesn't like her, why? What happened at the wedding where she was just like, I'm not attracted to him. I don't like to kiss. She's shutting down everything. So then why would I act any different? You're giving me all the reasons not to like you. Mm-hmm. I should actually just listen to you and not like you.
Right. Yeah, look, man, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays out with them. So Brandy hit this as we go through some of the other comments from throughout tonight's episode. Brandy says, did y'all see on the after party that Shaq said that Nicole slips notes under everyone's doors at nights to give them tips on what to do? I'm not surprised to hear that at all. Are you?
No. From the crazy person? Let's get everybody else an idea. Like, I can see her talking to Chris. Hey, babe, I have this idea. We're doing so amazing, right? Like, this is great. Tell me it's great. Tell me, do you love me yet? Not yet? That's fine. Hold it. Don't say it. I'm going to write notes. We're going to help everyone else be great. And then you're going to love me more. You promise?
Now, remember when we were talking about why people hated Eris? High Vibe had said this, I hate Eris because he's a 39-year-old F-boy. J-Rose says, I hate Eris because he's Eris. He better not sleep with her. And Lucy B says, no, Mike, it's for constantly mentioning that he's not attracted to her. So this is the people saying why they don't like Eris. Because remember, there were reasons that he thought it was because he wouldn't sleep with her. No, it's not because he wouldn't sleep with her. It's because of these other reasons, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't sleep with her, Eris, if you're not feeling it. Mm-hmm. That's not fair to Jasmine. And Jasmine, don't sleep with him unless he overly shows you that he's really into you. Don't just be like, I've been thirsting for physical connection and attention. Now that he's given it to me, I'm going to sleep with him. Don't do just it.
Don't do it, period.
Don't do it. Save yourself for this process to be over. Make your money, feed the dogs, and find you somebody else better in Nashville.
Speaking of dogs, Kitty had something to say about Gina and Clint's Jamaican dinner in the apartment. Said, I guess I missed the Gina Clint convo. All I wanted to say was, I don't like doggy hands with my oxtails. Nasty ass folk. I'll bet you on that. Keep your doggy hands out my food. Now, remember when we were talking about Nicole's dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike says Nicole's dad lives in Florida. He really just wants Chris to keep her. No backsies. And JD said, you know, Nicole's dad had him choking when he said BDE. Now, Clovis said that it was ageist for us to think that older people don't know ubiquitous words like BDE, shaking my head. We didn't say older people don't know ubiquitous words like BDE. What we said was Nicole's dad. He's not part of the culture. Hey, I didn't expect him to know.
It doesn't matter. BDE is, it is what it is. It doesn't have to be part of the culture. Because, it just is what it is.
It's not the thought. It's the acronym. Not everybody understands what woke means. I think there's a clip going viral right now about people who use the word woke and have no idea what it really means. So.
Yeah. And I agree with Keedy here. Nicole sticks a note under my door. I need to slide under her door that says, pineapples, bitch.
On that note.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. That is how you end the show.
Yes. Thank you, Keedy.
Don't forget, we're back Friday for Ready to Love Season 7. I think this will be episode 10 this week. Then next Monday, we're back episode 126. And of course, next Wednesday, right back, cheer. We'll be here for Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
Season 16. More whiskey. Episode 12.
I will need it.
Shaq and Kirsten finally kiss.
And it's going to be gross. He's like, you didn't brush your teeth today, did you?
Oh, my God. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.